Get Real is made for kids by the people at Wisconsin Public Television and the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
Major funding for Get Real is provided by the National Science Foundation, supporting education and research in science, mathematics, and technology, and by the National Endowment for Children's Educational Television. With special thanks to this station, supporting excellence in children's programming.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Lauren.
Get Real is spending the day at the zoo,
the Minnesota Zoo in Apple Valley.
Get Real!
There's lots to see.
Don't you want to see all the animals?
Come on!
This is one of the best places for kids, and Get Real is one of the best ways for kids to check it out.
But first, let's look at today's show.
We'll see some kids make it to the big time.
Watch how some Native American kids stick to the game of lacrosse.
And check out some floating pictures that move you.
Right now, let's go to Holman, Wisconsin and watch the Skate Town Limbo team perform.
Everybody, limbo!
Hello,
limbo bar system. We have two posts and a bar that can move up and down. And it keeps getting lower, lower, and lower. We started about 3 feet. Pretty soon we're about 1 foot. Then it's at 9 inches. The best limbers go down to 8 inches.
Wow!
It's more fun having a team because whenever you go and perform, you won't be just by yourself.
I like being on the limbo team because I made a lot of friends and I like to go places.
Hi, we're at the Trumplo Catfish Days Parade. Parades over the summer.
Holman is Wisconsin's roller limbo capital. Here's the plaque to prove it.
What's different about doing limbo outside than in the rink is it's kind of hard, and if you fall, you scrape up yourself.
The biggest excitement of being in a parade is when the people cheer.
Wonderful!
Great, fantastic!
I think the crowd loves it.
Do you know where Ronald Reagan lived when he was a kid?
Ronald Reagan was the 40th president of the United States. That's after Jimmy Carter and before George Bush. He served two terms in office during the time when most of us were born. That's from 1980 to 1988. Reagan grew up somewhere in the Midwest in a town known as the Petunia City. This town is on the Rock River, and another president, Abraham Lincoln, spent time here too. There's more than one Rock River in these parts, but only one Petunia City. So think about it. We'll be back later with more hints.
Around here, you can see some really cool animals.
But did you know? A group of moose is called a herd. A group of camels is called a band. A group of dolphins is called a school. A group of bison is called a troop. A group of flamingos is called a stand. A group of dinosaurs is called...
Wait a minute. What are they doing here?
They're here because even though they're extinct, they were once part of our animal world.
They look like the real thing, even though they're not.
Speaking of things that almost look real, take a look at this next segment.
They're holograms from the Museum of Holography in Chicago.
Andrew Pullum takes us on a tour.
I'm at the Museum of Holography in downtown Chicago. Let's check it out.
This museum has the biggest collection of holograms in the whole world.
Its goal is to help people appreciate the art and science of holograms. It seems almost like magic. A floating picture that changes as you move. That's because our eyes see two different parts of the hologram. Then our brain adds them up and puts them together as a 3D image.
How to build a hologram is way complicated. You need a laser, a beam splitter, a beam spreader, and a bunch of mirrors. Instead, we're gonna talk about light waves. To understand light waves better, all you need is a flashlight and a mirror. This is reflected light. A lens is an example of refracted light. A lens is carefully shaped to bend light rays. Contacts, glasses, cameras, all are lenses. Lenses bend light waves and focus them into images we can see. Reflection, refraction. Mirrors and lenses, both are the basis of making a hologram.
But the potential use of holograms could blow your mind.
I foresee holographic movies, holographic television, with optical computers. I foresee sending three-dimensional information through fiber optics into other countries.
So keep your eyes open. You never know where a hologram will pop up.
On the wall, who's the coolest cat of all?
It's hard to believe something as simple as a mirror is used in making holograms.
Hi, Justin.
What's up?
Whoa!
Didn't expect to see us here, did ya?
Ah!
That's the thing about mirrors. You usually see only what you expect to see. Unless you've got a big zit or something. That's a whole other topic.
Admit it, we all look in the mirror every day. Ever notice that the image we see in a mirror isn't quite what other people see?
I see what you mean. Like I know the writing on your shirt says Get Real, but when I try to read in a mirror, it says Tagliere.
It's like a secret code or something.
That's because in a mirror, the image is reversed. But the mirror doesn't do anything magical, it just reflects images.
The light in this room reflects off the A, travels to the mirror, then bounces back to my eyes.
But a capital A looks no different in a mirror, while a B looks totally backwards.
Whatever is reflected has been laterally inverted. That's just another way of saying the right and left sides are swapped.
I get it. The reason we notice it with some letters and not with others is because both sides of an A look symmetrical, but the sides of a B are different.
Check it out. A, T, and W look okay, but the E, K,
and S are wickedy whack.
So the face I see in the mirror each morning when I'm brushing my teeth is actually the reverse of what everyone else sees.
Right. It's the law of reflection.
It's kind of like bouncing a basketball. Throw it straight, and it comes back straight.
But throw it at an angle, it comes back at an angle.
The light is just like a ball as it bounces off the mirror.
These funhouse mirrors really twist the truth.
You can experiment with reflections at home. Just grab a metal spoon and check it out.
Here's something else you can try with mirrors. See if you can use a mirror to reflect the sun's beam.
That's a great idea, and a good safety tip if kids were ever lost in the woods or something.
We've had lots of fun checking out light reflections today. See if you can come up with even more neat experiments to try.
And if you come up with some really cool ones,
write us a letter and tell us about it.
Most of us see the animals at the zoo during the summer while we're on vacation.
Do you know what animals do during the winter?
They stay here, but for the most part, they're on vacation from us.
Let's take a look at some animals that love winter vacations.
They're from the Lake Superior Zoo, and these kids help take care of them.
Welcome to the Lake Superior Zoo in Duluth, Minnesota.
I'm cool like that. 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 I'm cool.
It's about 6 degrees, and Arctic animals love this weather.
The climate makes them feel right at home.
I'm cool like that. 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 I'm cool.
Because of the type of animals we exhibit here, most of them are still very active in the winter.
We're junior docents and we help take care of the animals.
We got a tortoise wash going, so I gotta go and catch them. We wash them in the sink. Well, now we got them clean.
This is a baby fennec fox. The ears are so big because where they live, it's really hot and they need to lose a lot of body heat through their heads, so it's kind of like air conditioning. Like,
these are our chinchillas, and they have very soft fur. But they get really mean sometimes and they bite really hard.
Aren't these strange looking bugs?
This one's Slinky. That one's Bear. This one's Casper. And Jake is down there.
There's snakes in here.
I like being a junior docent because I like holding all the animals and I like playing with them, and I think it helps the zoo a lot.
If you got a case of cabin fever, a trip to the Lake Superior Zoo might be the cure.
The name of the town where Ronald Reagan grew up?
Here's a hint.
He was born in Tampico, Illinois, which is about 20 miles away from here. When Reagan was a boy, he was involved in a lot of things. He was a drum major for the local YMCA band. He also learned to swim here and later worked as a lifeguard at Lowell Park, where Reagan saved 77 people from drowning. Like we said before, his hometown is located on the Rock River. But it's not the Rock River in Minnesota and Iowa. Could this town be Dixon, Rockford, or Rock Falls? Have you figured out Reagan's hometown? Stay tuned. The answer is coming up.
When Reagan was president, he had to answer a lot of questions from a lot of people.
That was then, Well, what if you could ask the president anything now? What would it be?
We asked some kids from Pulseville, Iowa, what they would ask.
The question comes from Aaron Torkelson from Macon, Iowa.
Here are kids from the Pulseville Child Care Center with their answers.
If I could ask the president a question, it would be, why did you want to be our president and why? Because I just want to know.
How much work does the president have?
How many years have you been the president?
I'd ask the president if he could role play with me.
What do you do in the White House?
Why did you want to be a president?
What is your favorite basketball team?
If I could ask the president something, it would be, is it fun being the president?
Why do you like to be the president?
Where do you get your haircut from?
What do you eat for breakfast? Because I'm wondering if you have a favorite food to eat.
That's what we think! Yeah!
Seeing a baby dolphin this small is so cool.
Because it doesn't happen very often at the Minnesota Zoo, you might think of seeing these babies as a once-in-a-lifetime chance.
Here's some other kids who also had a once-in-a-lifetime chance.
Get this.
They're performing in a Broadway musical. The show is called Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and two singing groups from Appleton and Wausau, Wisconsin are performing it in Green Bay.
These kids had to go through tough tryouts to become part of the show,
but they had a lot of fun.
We're the
Johnston
Elementary
School
Choir
in Appleton
and the
Corleers
of Wausau,
and we're
going to
be
stars!
Hang on to Joseph, you know what they say. Hang on to Joseph, you'll make it someday.
We were practicing to be in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, the Broadway production.
We've been practicing Joseph for about a month and a half.
Good. Now, the only thing is we ended up with a squishy back line here.
They're a big part of the show. They have choreography that's done down on the stage floor.
Knees and knees and knees and knees and knees.
They're bouncing all over and they're singing and they're clapping and they're yahooing. And they all have to do it at the same time.
Walk like an Egyptian.
We know the music almost perfect, and all we have to do is just keep working on the dancing.
There's a story in the Bible about Joseph and his amazing ability, his gift from God, that he can interpret dreams.
What we are is Sunday school children, and a teacher is reading this pop-up book. And all of a sudden, while the teacher's reading it, the characters in the book come alive.
No, no, come relax. Who's the thief? Who's the thief? Who's the thief? Who's the thief?
No! 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 No!
This was Andrew Lloyd Webber's first show, and it was written, and there weren't kids involved. He rewrote it and added the kids' part. And it also, it became more interesting from the audience's point of view.
Could it possibly be Benjamin?
Yes, yes, yes!
It's a unique experience because this is a national touring company. This experience is a great one. Always gonna remember it.
Right now, let's go to Menominee, Wisconsin and meet Josh Stimmel, who likes high flying.
I basically got started with flying when I was taken to a
flying show with a bunch of remote control airplanes. I was fascinated by all the types of planes that they had and the sizes and speeds that they could go and all the maneuvers and stuff that they could do, and I thought it would be really interesting to get into that. Later, my dad started thinking about possibly doing that and found out that we could start building one on Saturday mornings during the winter. We got together and started building one and started flying it. For an experienced flyer, there's a system called the buddy system, and that is you're flying, but there's also a more experienced flyer that's there next to you, and his remote is connected to yours with a wire, so he can take control of your plane and bring it down to safety. The remote controls the ailerons, which are mounted on the wings, and they're basically just little flaps, and they cause the plane to bank or to roll left or right. The elevators on the back of the plane change the height of the tail or the pitch and cause the plane to fly up or down. The rudder of the plane pushes the tail left or right and or changes the yaw. I would recommend radio control flying for basically anybody who's interested in flying or science and wants to know how a plane really works. It's fun when you're up there flying it and to know that you were the one that built that plane or helped to build it, and it just gives you a really good kind of satisfaction.
While we prepare food for the soft-billed birds, let's take a look at these kids who learned as much as they could about a game called lacrosse.
The kids play it on the Stockbridge Muncie Reservation in Wisconsin
because it's part of their Native American heritage.
On the Stockbridge Muncie Reservation. Get ready for the fastest game on 2 feet. It's a team sport, and the object is to score a goal. Native Americans invented lacrosse. My ancestors were playing long before Christopher Columbus came. The game hasn't changed much since then.
We play lacrosse the traditional way. We don't have a lot of safety gear, and in the old days, they didn't have it.
Whoa!
Ah, God, you did it.
I like lacrosse because it has a lot of action.
I like lacrosse because it's important for our heritage.
I like lacrosse because it's a challenge.
We go out in the woods and chop down a tree, and then we get the size we want, and then we just shave out the shape that we want it.
Got it?
This is the ball we play with. It's wooden. It's about the size of a tennis ball, and it's light.
I want to hear that war cry. You got to wake up that spirit.
It's all made out of resource materials from the woods. There were no Kmarts. They couldn't go buy them. Louisville Slugger. We'd go in the woods and cut our log and leather and what have you, and it doesn't cost anything. And they have a darn good time playing it. Just have fun and please the spirits.
It keeps you intact with your native heritage. So, like, you when you get older, you can teach your kids that.
Lacrosse is cool!
If you want to know more about the traditional game of lacrosse, check out this book.
It's called Children of the Longhouse, and it's by Joseph Bruchet.
It's about the Native American people and how they played lacrosse in the 1400s.
Let us know what you think of the show, the zoo, or us.
Grab a piece of paper and something to write with now. We'll give you our address right after this. Have you figured out the name of Ronald Reagan's hometown? It's on the Rock River, and this Rock River starts in Wisconsin and runs through Illinois. And it's about 20 miles from Reagan's birthplace in Tampico. If you figured out it's Dixon, Illinois, you're right. Ronald Reagan spent his boyhood here. When he was older, he was known as the Gipper because of a party played in a movie. But when he was a kid, he was known as Dutch because his big cheeks made him look like a big Dutchman. Ronald Reagan's boyhood home still stands today. It has been restored to the way it was when Ron was a kid, right down to the secret hiding place in the fireplace where Dutch used to stash his money. From Dixon, Illinois, to Hollywood, California, to the White House in Washington, D.C., Ronald Reagan has been an American legend. And just think, this is where it all started.
Drop us a line. We want to hear from you. Our address is Get Real, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
You're writing this down, aren't you? Or email us at getreal!@vilas.uwex.edu. And don't forget our website. Visit us at www.wpt.org/getreal!. Let's take one last look around.
And now we gotta go.
But always remember to
get real.
Most of us see animals at the zoo during the summer while we're on vacation.
Because it doesn't happen very often at the Minnesota Zoo, you might think of seeing these babies as a once-in-a-lifetime chance.
I started on Lifetime. It's a zoo.
Here they come again, you ready?
These rocks are really tipping. Okay. I'm Misty.
And I'm Fluffy.
Get real, spending the day at the zoo.
The Minnesota Zoo in Apple Valley.
Major funding for Get Real is provided by the National Science Foundation, supporting education and research in science, mathematics, and technology, and by the National Endowment for Children's Educational Television. With special thanks to this station, supporting excellence in children's programming.
Get Real is made for kids by the people at Wisconsin Public Television and the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
Next time on Get Real,
you won't believe your eyes.
We'll show you some cool illusions.
So keep your eyes open,
hang out with these low rollers, step into the spotlight with some kids who are living a dream, and hit the turf with these smashing sticksters. Don't miss Get Real. Next time, hit the turf with these smashing sticksters, go low rolling, hang out with some really cool critter sitters, and meet some kids who are living a dream. Catch Get Real. It's smashing sticks and low rollers. Next time on Get Real.